We good now? One thing I learned this morning is if God can use pigeons, he can use you. So thank God for that. How was that? I needed a little humor today because I do have a heavy heart today, and I'm not sure, I can't put my finger on why exactly. But I can tell you this, Mr. Trump. But I can tell you this. I have a very thankful heart today. You know, I don't know, and I'm going to lose it here in a minute, but I just don't know where my life would be. If it wasn't for 13 years ago, God rescuing me. And I'm so thankful that he did. It's amazing what he can do in your life. I mean, I was a wretched man. Some of you know much of my story because I give a little bit of it every time I come preach. But you don't know of it because you don't know the mind that I had, the hatred that I had, and how beautiful life can become when you surrender your life to the living God of the universe. And I'm so grateful that he did. Everything changes. Not just your outward appearance, not just eternal life. If you have eternal life and nothing changes, you don't have eternal life.
Right.
Because everything changes. Everything changes when you meet head on with a resurrected Christ. Everything changes. You progress in your faith. Sometimes it takes a long time to grow in your maturity. But everything changes. You may get stale. You may get become and have apathy in your Christianity, but everything changes. I would never know this kind of love if it wasn't from the Creator of love pouring into our lives. I could never love my wife as I have today, and I'm still learning. But it is so polar opposite of what it used to be. As I said last week to the men, it was a counterfeit love, really. It was for me. And once in a while, I do nice things. But you cannot love unless your life has been powerfully changed by a resurrected Christ. What's missing in your life? Some people say, oh, I've got dealt a bad hand in life. This is just my life. It doesn't have to be. Are you satisfied in life today? See, I would have sat here 13 years ago prior to that and said, yeah, I'm satisfied. And I would be a liar. Because I had secrets and sin in my life that overpowered me and made me a slave to sin. Are you satisfied, truly? When do you think you'll be satisfied? Money? As soon as I have X amount of dollars, as soon as I get to this amount in my bank account, as soon as I get rid of these debts, maybe I'll be happy. Money won't make you happy. What about relationships? We see a lot of that. We're just pursuing all these relationships. Will that make you happy? Filling the void? What is it that we fill our void with? What is it? We each have something. If the void isn't being filled with Christ, then it's being filled with something because it is in our nature to fill it or to attempt to. What are we chasing? What are you attempting to fill your life with? When I volunteered for Setting Captives Free Ministry, we would call this, the world calls it addictions that we try to, that overtake us when we got these habits, whatever your habit might be. But the world calls it addictions. But the Bible calls it that you're thirsting. You're thirsting. And that's why it can never be filled with anything that this world has to offer, because your thirsting can't be filled with something of this earth. It's a broken cistern. We try to fill it and fill it and fill it, but it's broken. It's cracked. And if I tried to fill water right now in a broken cup, you'd call me insane. What are you doing? You'll never fill it. And yet we do that in our very own lives. We fill it and fill it with something that is finally going to make us satisfied, and we never get there. And that was my life. And my mission was to take that to my grave in silence and just sin, no matter what its form, takes you straight to the grave. Destroys all relationships. The one that means the most. Our thirst can only be quenched by the God, and we heard this morning, by the God who knit you together in your mother's womb. In fact, a lot of things that we heard this morning, you're going to hear me repeat them. Isn't that amazing? If that's not amazing to you, you need to think about that, that God knit you together. That's intimacy. He knows everything about you. He knit you knit. My grandmother was a knitter. Is that a word? But it's very tedious and very time-consuming, very thought-provoking. God knit you together. And speaking of mother's womb, today's my mother's birthday. I go see her after the message. Take the family down and go see my mom. So glad to see you. Got my oldest son and my youngest daughter here today. So thankful for family, as I said in the beginning. Our thirst can only be quenched by the one who knit us together in our mother's womb. It's a spiritual thirst we're having, and you cannot fill it up by anything else. In fact, God said, "My people have committed two sins. They have forsaken me, the spring of living water, and have dug their own cisterns, broken cisterns, and it cannot hold water," like I was talking about earlier. We have forsaken God. We forsake Him and do things our own way, trying to fulfill our own desires, and it's a broken cistern that cannot be filled, it cannot hold water. God is our spring of living water. Jesus said, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger. And whoever believes in me shall never thirst." Are you hungry? Are you thirsty? In life, are you satisfied? See, if you're coming to Him, you're not going to be hungry for other things. And if you're believing in Him, you're not, what does it say? You will never thirst. Never. What does that mean? What's never? Never? You're going to be satisfied coming to Him, believing in Him. You'll not hunger and never thirst. And like I said earlier, I love that because that's exactly what happens. I mean, He filled me up to overflowing, and it is amazing. Am I perfect? You can ask three people sitting right here, my family. No. Matter of fact, I hate when Christians even bring that up. Well, I'm not perfect. You know why that drives me nuts? Because that's why we need a resurrected Christ, because none of us are. So how can we possibly use that as an excuse? But we need to repent to one another when we sin. Not coming, well, I'm not perfect, brother. I'm not perfect, brother, sorry. No, I need to repent and get right, make my relationships right. So what satisfies your soul? Have you dug your own cistern? Are you satisfied in Christ? Is he all you need? I mean, we talk about this stuff as Christians all the time. Oh yeah, he's all I need. And then here comes the car, as Bobby said. The things of life take us over and we just crumble. We need to hold on with our lives to him. It's kind of like firefighting. I've been a firefighter for a long time. And sometimes it gets miserable. I'm a fireman in Bullhead City, and it's just absolutely miserable in the summertime. And you talk about drinking some heavy loads of water. Man, every call we come back, okay, drink another bottle of water. Drink another bottle of water. You know what it's like? We say this all the time. I'm dying of thirst. I'm dying of thirst. We say these things all the time. Tired, hot, sweaty. We've all been there. We've all said, I'm dying of thirst. Well, it's nothing like that whatsoever. We're talking about a satisfaction in your life. We're talking about a new creation that Christ makes you. Takes out your heart of stone and gives you a heart of flesh. He gives you the ability to love others like you've never thought was possible before. It's a totally different satisfaction. I use the story of the Samaritan woman a lot for a couple purposes today. It's so cool that Jesus went and had a conversation with this Samaritan woman. What a beautiful story. I love that story so much. But he didn't give her the Ten Commandments track. He wasn't overzealous. Do you know Jesus? Do you know who I am? He didn't condemn her in her sin. 5 husbands and a live-in boyfriend. He simply talked to her. This is the first thing I want you to notice about the Samaritan woman. He simply talked to her. Initially in the story, it said that he had to go through this area. And he just simply talked to her. Everywhere Jesus went, he took advantage of opportunity. Same thing we're supposed to do as Christians. Making the most of our opportunities as God allows us to have opportunity. At work, when I have opportunity, I don't just go blaring out, I'm a Christian, you guys need Christ. I wait for the opportunity to come, and they come. And it's awesome. But we're talking about the creator of the universe here, taking his time for this woman in sin. He didn't condemn her. He simply met up with her and began to speak with her. The one, the scripture says, that all things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. This is Jesus we're talking about. The same one that said, he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation, for by him all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through him and for him, and he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. Humbly came to a woman. Humbly came to us. In the same manner. He asked for a drink. She was a little confused. But he said these words that are just powerful. Everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks the water that I give him will never be thirsty again. The water that I give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life. The woman said, "Sir, give me this water so that I will not be thirsty or have to come here to draw water." And after that, Jesus told her, "Go call your husband." She didn't have one. She had five husbands and a live-in. But Jesus didn't condemn her. He was passionate. We skip down to towards the end of that beautiful story found in John 4, and I recommend that you guys read that today and meditate on it and think about it. It's a great, amazing story. But here's what I want us to focus on too. Besides, we know that you could never thirst if you come to Christ. We know that he's the one that gives the water in which you'll never thirst. But see, the water that we drink, we have to keep going back over and over. The things that take us over is what I'm talking about. Not regular water. The things that have us. Things we're filling ourselves up with. That's the water you're going to be thirsty for over and over again. I don't ever want to thirst again for that garbage. Because it did nothing but destroy me. It did nothing but destroy my wife. And it just did nothing but destroy my relationship with my kids and everybody else. Now listen to this. As we talk about discipleship here, many Samaritans came from that town, believed in him, still the same story, because of the woman's testimony. "He told me all that I ever did," was her cry when she went back to the town. She left her water jar by the well and boogied back to the town to tell people what happened. So when the Samaritans came to him, they asked him to stay with him, and he stayed there 2 days. And many more believed because of his word. They said to the woman, "It is no longer because of what you have said that we believe, for we have heard ourselves. And we know that this is indeed the Savior of the world." So if you have been drinking of living water, if you are satisfied in Christ, if you have had an experience with him, if he's made you a new creation, if he's changed your life, these are all the signs of being a Christian. These are all the signs of being a new creation. These are all the signs of drinking living water. Being satisfied in that. What does she do immediately? She could not contain herself. She went back and she had to give testimony. And that's why we give testimony. That's why I give my testimony. I got to give a piece of it because you're so excited about what happened. You're so excited that you're not the same person. You're so excited that I can be forgiven for having five husbands and a live-in boyfriend. Are you serious? I can be forgiven for years and years of pornography and even an adulterous relationship, really? You don't have to take your sin to your grave in silence because that's a terrible plan. That's my plan, and I don't recommend it. I recommend that you be broken before a holy God and you repent and you believe so that you can finally be satisfied in this life. And if you are satisfied, then our lives automatically, do you hear this? Automatically, if you're claiming that you're satisfied in Christ, if you're claiming to be a Christian today, then your life will automatically start building into the lives of others. It is inevitable. And even if you don't say a word, your life will show that something is different. And that's why people come up to some of you and say, why don't you participate in this? What do you know that I don't know? And that happens once in a while at work, not very often. But our lives, if we're satisfied in Him, you cannot contain it. How is that possible? See, when you're filled up and satisfied, you automatically pour out, don't you? You go and make disciples because of your grateful heart. Or at least you tell when you have opportunity. I'm not saying to be an obnoxious Christian, because nobody likes obnoxious Christians. I hear that at work too, and I try to be careful, because they don't like obnoxious Christians. And so I wait for my opportunity, and I don't take every single opportunity. I'm a fallible man. But I do my best as I'm able within my weakness to give counsel and pray with and help out those around me. And that's what we've got to do this. This is what we were commanded to do. You should examine your life to see if this is you. What side are you on? As for you, you were dead in your trespasses and sins, but made alive with Christ. Even when we were dead in transgressions, He made us alive with Christ. It's by His grace that we've been saved. What an amazing God. Do you guys ever think that? That the God that created the universe, the one who spoke and everything leapt into existence at His command. And by the way, that's my Big Bang Theory. I tell my friends that I believe in the Big Bang Theory. Oh, you do? Yeah. God spoke and it exploded into existence. Yeah. I mean, isn't that just mind-blowing to think that sometimes? That the God that spoke and created all things would be so intimate with us to send His only Son for us? Does your life show your progress in your faith? I mean, I went through Christian apathy too. It's okay. But recognize it for what it is. If you're just apathetic today, and you need a kickstart, then repent and get your kickstart going. But generally speaking, we should be progressing in our faith, and we shouldn't stay in apathy for the rest of our lives. Does your life show a greater increase in love for others? Husbands loving their wives. Wives loving their husbands. Single people, not to leave you out, but loving your neighbor as yourself. And one of the big ones, they'll know us by our what? Do we have that? The church loving one another? Do we really have that? I'm not sure. Sometimes I wonder. If you have a changed life, you become a life changer. It's not in your power, but it's Christ within you. I wrote on an acronym. It's THIRST. Surprise, right? Big message, never thirst. And so the acronym today is THIRST. So I'm going to ask you, the T stands for your time. Where does your time go? We all have the same 24 hours in a day. All of us have the same amount of time. How do you use it for your spiritual growth? We all know the more time you spend with somebody, the deeper your intimacy becomes. So how much time do you spend in prayer? How much time do you spend reading the Word of God? Being intimate with Him. Allowing the Word of God to get in you, to penetrate your heart and your mind. The Bible says that you be renewed. Your mind will be renewed. How much time do you spend with the one who spoke and the universe leapt into existence? With the one who paid with his very own son's life? The H is for habits. What are your habits? Good habits will be a blessing, and bad habits can be enslaving. So, but what are your habits? I tell people, and this may, I don't know, you don't have to do this, but I tell people to get on a schedule at least. Get up earlier in the morning. Get your praying and reading, I almost said, out of the way. Just get it out of the way. Hurry up. But I don't mean it that way. I mean it that if I miss a reading or a praying time in the morning, I feel goofy. I'm like, now I got to feel like I'm squeezing it in at the end of the day. But it needs to start my day so that I can meditate on God's word the rest of the day. And He can guide me and He can use that later so that maybe if He brings an opportunity for me to minister to somebody, that I can use that. So what are your habits? The rest of these have, except for the last one, has two underneath it. The I stands for identity or idolatry. See, your time and your habits will show either your identity to be in Christ, or your time and habits could show that maybe you have an idol. So which is it for you? Are you crucified with Christ? It is no longer I who live, but it's Christ who lives within me. Or is your time and your habits made you a slave to sin and there's no hunger and thirst for Christ? You can't have both. It's impossible. The R would be for, are you repenting or repeating? Repenting would be turning to God. And as I like to say, that you've turned your back on your idols. Immediately, when you turn to God and seek Him with all that you are, I've turned my back on my idols, and I need to keep going and keep going and pursue the one that loves me more than anybody, the one who knit me together in my mother's womb, the one who sacrificed Himself for my sin, the one who nailed it on the cross and said, it's finished. He's the one that satisfies our very soul where we'll never thirst. But this repeating thing is horrible. It's in a horrible place to be. I like to say that it's kind of corny, so let me be a little corny for a minute. I'm going backwards a little bit, back to idolatry, because you know how to spell idolatry? Idol, a try. That's how you spell it. You want to give an idol a try? I don't recommend that either. But are you repenting or are you repeating? See, one is turning in a new direction versus turning in circles. Isn't that awesome? I'm either turning in a new direction or I'm turning in circles. And my life, generally speaking, I was turning in circles. I thought I was repenting because I was somewhat, I was remorseful over my secret sin that I'm hiding from my wife at my church. But I was in circles. The S is, are you a servant of Christ? Or are you a slave to sin? Again, you cannot have both. It's either one or the other. All of these are one or the other. And Pastor Peter put together, is it still in the back, Peter? What is that? Am I a Christian or what is it? Oh, examine yourself. There's paperwork back there to examine yourself with. It's really, really good. And you can answer the questions as you go down, and this will help you. But are you a servant or a slave? And the last one is, the last T is trust. Who are you trusting? Yourself? Or God? Moses wrote in Deuteronomy, and you shall remember the whole way of the Lord your God has led you these 40 years in the wilderness, that he might humble you, testing you to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not. And he humbled you and let you hunger and fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you know that man does not live on bread alone, but man lives by every word that comes from the mouth of God. Do you believe that? Jesus quoted that to the enemy when he tried to get him to change the stone to bread. Man does not live on bread alone. Jesus said to his disciples, I have food that you do not know about. And again, what's our problem as Christians? What is it with us? Something comes our way, we already know. Doesn't James tell us, consider it pure joy, my friends, when you have trials of all kinds? We know these things are coming for the Christian. We know that greater persecution may come for Christians in this country. Is that okay? Well, there'd be certainly be a testing of our faith, won't it? But listen to Paul. Listen to this. Paul said that I worked much harder, been in prison more frequently, been flogged more severely, been exposed to death again and again. 5 times I received from the Jews the 40 lashes minus one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. 1 time I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. I spent a night and a day in the open sea. I have been constantly on the move. I have been in the danger from rivers. I have been in danger from bandits, in danger from my own countrymen, in danger from Gentiles, in danger in the city, in danger in the country, in danger at sea, in danger from false brothers. I have labored and toiled, often gone without sleep. I have known hunger and thirst, have gone without food. I have been cold and naked. Your list even compare? Mine? And immediately after this list, and apart from other things, there is the daily pressure on me of my anxiety for all the churches. Wow. Can you imagine what would happen if Paul walked in here right now and you could see all the stripes? Or Christ, would that motivate us to do something? Paul said, for I am already being poured out like a drink offering, and the time has come for my departure. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have longed for his appearing. Revelation 22:17 says, "The Spirit and the bride say, come. And let the one who hears say, come. And let the one who is thirsty come. Let the one who desires take the water of life without price." Without price. It cost him everything. But it cost you nothing. Oh, it'll cost you your life. A crucified life. He bought you with a price. Let's pray. Lord, what an honor it is to be able to speak, to be able to deliver the message. To be able to raise my hand and say, I was lost and blind, but now I see. Lord, you came down to rescue us. Help us, God, to be grateful, to be thankful. Even today, this morning, Lord, help us to be filled with thanksgiving for what you've done. Even the very breath, every word I've spoken, every breath, every heartbeat has been a gift. And then we have eternity as the greatest gift found in your Son, Jesus Christ. So, Lord, help us to be grateful today, to be repentant today, to seek you with all that we are, to find our true satisfaction in drinking the living water that only Christ can give. May we abandon our own cisterns. May we repent of forsaking you, our first love. And then, Lord, teach us to walk in a way that honors you. Teach us to walk in a way that glorifies you. And help us, O God, to reach out to those in this lost and dying world. In Jesus' name, amen.